Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I think all of you here today would agree that faith is an important part of the Christian life. Would you agree with me? Raise your hand if you believe that. Faith is very, very important to the Christian life. After all, we became a Christian by putting our faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on that old rugged cross. Amen? That's how we became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in him, and we put our faith in what he accomplished on the cross. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Both of these verses emphasize how we got saved by faith, putting our faith in Christ and Christ alone. I'm thankful here this morning that salvation is by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. Amen. That is the message of the gospel. You're not saved by good works. You're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But as you read the Bible, you quickly see that God also wants us to live by faith. We are saved by faith in Christ, and then we are to live the Christian life by faith in Christ. And as we will see today in our text in James chapter 1, God even wants us to pray with faith. As a matter of fact, the verses I'm about to read clearly emphasize that faith in God makes the difference between answered prayer and unanswered prayer. Let's look at it, please. James chapter 1, I'd like to begin reading in verse 5, and I'm going to read down to verse 8. Will you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word this morning? James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Now, that word "ask" there, you ought to circle and put off in the margin of your Bible, and that is the word "pray" or "prayer." When we pray, we are asking God to meet our need. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally or generously and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith." When you pray, pray in what? Are y'all awake? You're standing up, but you're asleep. You pray in faith. "Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Faith is very important if we're going to have answers to our prayers, right? That's what this verse says. And then it says in verse 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Now, we use that verse a lot for a lot of people, right? We like to put that verse on them. In context, it's talking about what? Prayer. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Do you believe when you pray, or do you lack faith? Let's pray, and then let's ask God to touch our hearts from these verses. Heavenly Father, thank you for your inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. God, today we know that your Word is the foundation of our Christian lives. And so help us today, Lord, to glean what you would want to teach us from this passage of Scripture here in James chapter 1. And as we talk about prayer and the importance of faith and how we need to pray believing that you can answer those prayers, I ask God that you would work in our hearts, keep us alert, awake all throughout the service. May your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts in such a way that when we leave here, we will leave changed people for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. And you may be seated. Now notice that James tells us that our lack of faith will hinder our prayers from being answered. So this morning I want to preach from this passage of Scripture, but I want to ask three questions. So if you're taking notes, and I don't know if you're in the habit of taking notes or not, but I always tell people that a piece of paper and a pen will keep you awake in my messages. Amen. So jot down three questions that we want to answer here this morning. Number one, what is faith? What is faith? Because if I'm talking today, and certainly James is writing about here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how that we need to pray with faith, then what is faith? Faith is a very dominant and a very important theme in the Bible. And so I think we need to understand what faith is and what faith is not. You can find a lot of definitions of faith out there. The two Greek words that are translated faith and believe are from the same primary root word. The two are so closely related together that at times when we are asked to define what is faith, people might say to have faith is to believe. And then if you say, well, give me a definition of what you mean whenever you say it's important for us to believe, we say to believe is to have what? Faith. So to have faith is to believe. To believe is to have faith. The two words are very, very closely connected together. Faith really has more to do with our heart than it does with our head. You say, well, preacher, what is faith? All right, here's the definition. Faith is completely trusting, depending, or relying on God with all of your heart. Is that not what faith is? Now, that's a very simplistic definition, but you ought to jot that down. When we talk about faith, and we talk about living by faith, and we're talking about praying with faith, we're talking about faith as being complete trust, complete dependence, complete reliance on God with all of our heart. Now again, we know that this is the way we got saved, right? Are you with me? This is the way we got saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt what? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, we don't believe with the what? Head. We believe with the heart. And for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But now God wants us to live by faith. That is, he wants us to embrace a lifestyle that reflects complete trust in him. And that is, we are to walk with God, and our daily lifestyle is to reflect our complete trust and our complete dependence and our complete reliance upon God. You were not created to be independent of God. You were created to walk with God and to live for God. And that takes what? Faith. Brings me to my second question. Faith in what? That's a big, big question in our culture today. Faith in what? Many Christians are putting their faith in the wrong places. For instance, I hear talk today about how you have to have faith in faith. You ever heard that? Faith in faith. As a matter of fact, some faith healers will tell a sick person, well, obviously you didn't have enough faith or you would have been healed. You ever heard people say that? You feel like looking at them and saying, no, I think the problem's with you, brother. You know, not with me, with you. Let me say that no one has ever been healed by having too much or too little faith in faith. Just having faith is not enough. Others will say that we need to have faith in the power of prayer. We even hear that in churches today. Can I bust your bubble a little bit today? Follow with me, all right, before you call me a heretic. But I think having faith in faith is a wrong concept. I think having faith in the power of prayer is a bad concept too, and I'll tell you why. Nowhere in the Bible are we exhorted to put our faith in prayer or to put our faith or to put our faith in anything else except God. God alone. Now, if we really get down to where the rubber meets the road, prayer, please don't label me a heretic, all right? Listen me out. Prayer doesn't change things. God changes things. Now think about that statement just for a moment. Prayer is the system. God is the source. That brings me to several points, subpoints that I want to give you. We must have faith, number one, in the person of God. Have faith in the person of God. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great, great chapter in the Bible on faith. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we're going to have our prayers answered, we must believe that God exists and that he is ready to bless those who seek his face. I believe in a real God who really cares about what I'm going through on a daily basis. God is a real person that you can talk to. He's a real person that you can talk to. God is a real person who loves you, and God is a real person who cares about you. God is a real person who wants you to share your needs with him and your burdens and your hurts and your worries. God cares about what you're going through. Have faith in the person of God. You're not just praying out there into the nebulous future or some sort of deity that is like a million miles away. No. We are praying to a God who is a real person who loves us and cares about us and wants to meet our needs. Number two, we must have faith in the power of God. Do you realize God is able to handle any difficulty in your life today? I'm convinced in a crowd this size, as I look out at faces and I look into eyes, every one of those faces represents different challenges, difficulties, hardships, burdens. You've all come in here worrying about something here today. Do you understand that God is an all-powerful God? He's omnipotent. And I want to demonstrate to you in Matthew chapter 9, how powerful God is. You see, one day Jesus met two blind men who were desperately wanting to be healed. And in Matthew 9 and verse 27, you find these words, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." These blind men were persistent as they continued to cry out to Jesus over and over again. Finally, Jesus stops and he asks them a question in verse 28. He says, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Now, what is he asking? He's saying, "Do you believe that God has the power to make the blind to see? Do you believe that I am God?" is what Jesus is saying. And notice their answer, "Yea, Lord." Notice that when we seek God's face and we believe that he has the power to do the impossible in our lives, he responds to our faith. In verse 29, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you." These two blind men believed that Jesus had the power to enable them to see again. Wow. That's faith in the power of God. If God can make the blind to see, don't you think he can handle whatever problem you have in your life today? Whatever situation you're struggling with? You see, having faith in God means that you believe he is there, and you believe that he wants to hear your prayers, and you're confident that he and he alone has the power to answer those prayers. It was Dr. Lehman Strauss who once said, "There is no point at all in coming to God in prayer if we do not have confidence in Him." There's a lot of truth to that. If you don't believe God can answer your prayers, then why do you pray? That's what he's saying. If you don't have any confidence that you are worshiping and serving an omnipotent God, a God who has power to do whatever he wants to do, then why bother praying? When we pray with confidence. We pray with faith, trust that he has the power to even do what we would humanly label as the impossible in our lives. No wonder the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our," what? Faith. Increase, Lord, our trust in you. Help us to depend on you more than we've ever depended on you in the past. Number three, we must have faith in the promises of God. There are many wonderful promises that God gives to us in his word. But let's just look at the one right here in our text. Go back to James chapter 1. Maybe you never left there. James chapter 1. Look again at verse 5, because here we find the promise of divine wisdom. Look at it. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." If we need wisdom, the Bible here says that we need to pray in faith, resting in the promise that God says that if we ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to us. Is that not what the verse says? Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what the Bible says here. If you need wisdom, maybe some of you need wisdom in your marriage. You need wisdom in raising your kids. You need wisdom at work because you've got some big decisions in your life. Maybe you're in a phase of life right now where you need wisdom. The Bible says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and he'll give it to you. He's got so much wisdom that he'll give you a little bit of that wisdom that he has. You see, the promises of God are substantiated by the person of God. In other words, his character. God cannot lie. Men lie, but God doesn't lie. And so that means that when he makes a promise to us, he's going to keep that promise, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so we pray. We pray, trusting God to keep his promise. Now, have you ever prayed about something and as soon as you stopped praying, you started doubting about it? I know, y'all are more spiritual than that. Okay. But I have. Literally, where you pray. At times, maybe it's coming to like an old-fashioned altar like this and getting down here and praying about something, and before you get back to your seat, you're like, "I don't think God's going to do that." James says this has been going on for a long time. Look, notice what he says here. Because in verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed up and down." I believe God can do it. I don't believe God can do it. I can believe God can do it. I don't believe God can do it. And then he goes on. He says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." If we pray and then we say to ourselves, "Well, that probably won't ever happen," James says here in verses 6 and 7, then it probably won't happen because of our lack of faith. It's probably not going to happen because you didn't believe God for it. You see, James is simply reiterating what Christ taught his disciples about praying with faith. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." Dr. Warren Wiersbe, who went home to be with the Lord just a couple of weeks ago, he writes these words, "The greatest enemy to answered prayer is unbelief." That's the greatest enemy. Do you want answers to your prayers? Then believe God with faith. Believe. When you pray, believe, trust, depend, rely upon God. He is a real person who loves you and cares about you. He has the power to change your life. He has the power to deal with any situation you confront. And then we see here that he has a plan for your life. This is the fourth point. We must have faith in the plan of God. In other words, we have to trust that God's plan is better than our plan. Have you ever had a plan and then it didn't happen? Have you ever prayed about something and it didn't happen that way? Many times. It's as if God says, I know you have your plan, but my plan's better than your plan. And we have to have faith in the plan of God. God's will has to be factored in to our prayer life. You see, this aspect of praying in faith is certainly seen in Matthew 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. God, I don't know if it's your will or not. I hope it is. But I pray according to your will that you would answer this prayer request. You see, this leper believed Jesus cared about him. He also believed that Jesus had the power to heal him. What he didn't know was if this was God's plan, if this was God's will for him to be healed of his leprosy. And that's why he says, if thou wilt. Submitting ourselves to the sovereign will of God is not a lack of faith, but rather it is an act of faith. Where we say, Lord, may your will be done. Somebody has well said, when you pray, it's not about your will being accomplished in heaven, but it is about God's will being accomplished here on earth, you see. Ultimately, it's not about what we want. We can express to God what we want, but ultimately, we want God's will to be done, right? We want God to be honored and God to be glorified. It's allowing God to be God and just simply resting in the fact that what he decides to do will be for our good and for his glory. Now, my third question. First question was, what is faith, right? Second question, faith in what? Third question, do we pray with faith? When you pray, and this is a very personal question, it's not a generic one, it's a question for each of our own hearts and lives. When you pray, do you pray believing? Do you have faith in the person of God, the power of God, the promises of God, and the plan of God? Let me close by telling you a story, and the story may sound a little silly to you. Supposedly, it's a true story. I don't know. Sometimes you read things and wonder, right? The story is told about a community where there was a drought. It was a farming community, and it had not rained for a long time. And the community, the residents of the community were getting desperate. And so eventually they said, we've got to do something. And so they called all the religious leaders of the community together. Didn't matter what denomination they were, brought them all together. And got them all together right in the very heart, what you would call the town square, all right, of the community. And they said, we've got to have a time of prayer, seeking God's face. So all the religious leaders came, and all of them came with different things. Some of them carrying a Bible with them. Others came with crucifixes and crosses and different religious symbols, beads and different things that they brought. And they brought and they cried out to God. It went on for probably 2 or 3 hours, a long service, and nothing happened. And one by one, the religious leaders began to walk away and go back home, and some back to their churches, their places of worship. And all that were there were just the community people, the residents, and there was this young boy. And he stood right there in the middle, and he was the only one left. I don't know why he was standing with all the religious leaders, but after they had left, there he was. And the residents said that that young man just looked up toward heaven and said, God, we need rain. And we believe that you can send the rain. So please send rain to our community. Well, within about the next hour or so, the residents said that the dark clouds started to gather. They started hearing some thunder in the background. And eventually, it began to rain. And they were so excited about the rain. They couldn't believe it was finally raining. It was going to be good for their crops and things were going to be okay. They were going to be able to survive. And they got to thinking, what was the big difference between all the religious leaders who came to pray for rain and this young boy who prayed for rain? And one man made an observation and said, you know what? The only difference that I could see between the young man and the religious leaders was that the young man came with an umbrella. Took some of you a little while to get that, right? He came with an umbrella. He came what? Believing. They didn't come with an umbrella. He came saying, hey, you know what? We're going to pray and God's going to send rain, so we better bring an umbrella. And he came with an umbrella. Is that the way you pray? Do you pray expecting? Do you pray in faith? Do you pray believing, trusting that God's going to answer your prayers? The Bible teaches us that we are to pray with faith in God. This is a 4-week series about prayer. Last week, the main point I made was this: God doesn't answer our prayers because we simply don't pray. We got to pray, right? If you want answers to your prayers, you got to pray. But number two, we got to pray with faith, believing. Have your prayers become just sort of mechanical where you go through the motion? Don't have a whole lot of substance, don't have a whole lot of emotion, a whole lot of feeling to it? Or do you really get a hold of God in prayer with faith, believing, trusting that He is fully capable of doing that which you label as the impossible in your life? When I say impossible in your life, what comes to your mind? My guess is all of us have something different that comes to our minds. Maybe it's a wayward teenager. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a marriage going bad. Maybe it's a health issue. I don't know what it is. But when I say impossible situation in your life, my guess is the Holy Spirit brings something to the forefront of your mind. When you pray, and I would first ask you, have you prayed about that situation? God doesn't answer prayers if we don't pray, right? We got to pray in order to get answers to prayers. Number two, when you pray, are you praying with faith? Are you bringing an umbrella with you? Because you have that much confidence that God is going to answer that prayer. He's a person who cares about you. He has the power to do the impossible. Are you trusting and putting your faith in the promises of God?
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.